This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You beautiful beings, welcome to another amazing episode of One Shot. I'm your host, Big Bees, your happy, helpful harbinger of hype. My pronouns are he, him, and we're back with part three of Gunfucks by Adira Slattery. Gunfucks is a Borderlands-inspired running gun to be played at a table with friends and dice for maximum fun. If you haven't listened to part one or two, you've got to go check those out. I'm trying to decide on my next TikTok voice acting challenge, so I got plenty of time. I'll wait here. What? Oh, you ready? Oh, all right. Let's do it then. What you see now is you are approaching Derek, who has a chain and a robotic-looking Croco, which everyone knows is the Robocrows, which are the electric.
Makes sense.
Like electrified Crocos. So he's holding one of those, and you see a couple other people with Crocos run over and let go of the chains and start to pull out guns. So.
The old Prince-mobile alarm.
So. You have eight people in, like, almost about to be melee range. Excuse me, because you are approaching and closing the distance very quickly. You see some more soldiers in the near range. They have bigger, meaner-looking Crocos there. And they're bigger, meaner-looking guys. And then you see two, like, just stacked and in armor just beefy ass dude standing next, standing on both sides of this one guy in just this slick ass suit. And he's sitting there looking at everything, directing, delegating, and then looks over, sees all the commotion, and just kind of smiles and then ignores y'all and gets back to doing what they're doing.
All right.
Man.
That's a choice.
Hey, I'm busy driving. So, yeah. Go fly some guns or whatever.
So, yeah, let's get in this combat.
Let's get down to business to defeat the Crux. Yes.
All right, so everybody, I don't remember if there's, like, a way to choose order.
Players go first, and then if you
roll
or mix successes, you get to interject.
Yeah,
I think you choose these. Tell us.
Well, definitely Tiago's going to go last because they're driving. And so you all have, I would say, if I had to choose, I'd say Sally, then Russell, because you're both on turrets. And Sally is super bloodthirsty, so she'd be excited to jump in first. After that would be Deborah, just because the pure momentum of slowing down and her tits catching up and it's gonna going take a astral second. Eat her into combat. And then Tiago.
Beautiful.
It's like one of those parachutes on a drag race that they do to slow themselves.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs>
Oh my god.
So Sally.
All right.
What you doing there, friend?
Are they all far right now?
Yeah. How far are they?
Yeah.
So I would say there are four Crocos and four goons. I would say near, because we are like one turn away from smashing into Derek.
Fucking Derek.
So yeah, fucking Derek. So I would say you're a few seconds from smashing into and being in melee range of everyone. So you right now are near to about eight of them.
Okay.
Anybody ever seen the show The Good Place?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Wasn't Derek the name of the guy that
yep.
they made?
Derek. All I'm thinking yes. of, like, yep. every time you say Derek, I'm like, Derek!
Mm-hmm.
Derek.
Yeah, that's what Derek looks like now.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's what I'm assuming.
As it goes. Okay. Sally is perched in the turret yet again, face morphing into their demonic counterpart. I'm going to activate Raise Hell, which gives me a free bonus attack.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And I'm also going to activate Dual Wield, which means I can activate two weapons quirks per turn.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Zerker is disgusting. I Zerker's love Zerker.
Real mean. I didn't choose it for that. That's it wild. Was just the vibes, but I'm very happy. So I'm gonna pull out a Temper Tantrum and kind of like heave it and set it on top of the turret gun. And I'm going to use one bullet to start countdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And what does countdown do again?
Countdown says mark three charges. At the end of each round, remove a charge. When the last charge is removed, deal five explosive harm to far.
Oh, nice. Okay. There will definitely be people in the far category.
So I'm going to make my first attack with Temper Tantrum. It's this, all of Sally's guns are brightly colored. This one is like a sunshine yellow with like sparkles of like purple kind of set along the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, or at least Temper Tantrum is Sally size. It like butts right up against her little shoulder. And with like a scream, she pulls. And we'll attack one of the Krakos.
All right, so you have, I will say there are three Robo-Krakos, or Robo-Crows, and then there is one Bone Krako, which you can see like just an icy mist coming from its mouth, from its maw. And I will say that the one that Derek was holding looks a little different from the others. Looks kind of like it's a little... not bonier, because this one's a robo. It just looks a little like its limbs are elongated, but the stomach is like the midsection is round with weird indentions in it.
That one seems gross, and I want to give Tiago a straight shot to Derek, so I'm gonna attack that one. All right. I have a plus one for attacks with Carnage with my Temper Tantrum.
Yep.
I'm rolling five. And I got a six.
Oh, yeah, you hit it. How much damage does that do?
Two harm.
Okay. And what element was that again?
It's explosive. Oh, so it's just great. This like little bead of light that kind of zips through the air. And as it impacts, it just kind of detonates. Mm.
All right, so Derek sees you all, and he's screaming, and everybody is alerted, and they're all starting to come together, and they're pulling out their weapons, and all of a sudden, they see from this purple rain unicorn a little bead of light just, and it just, and you see the Robo-Crow that Derek was holding start to roll, like fold its arms up, and legs kind of like Droidica style and starts to roll. Mm. And as soon as it starts a spin, you just hear and it detonates. It just explodes and like Robo-Crow shrapnel goes everywhere.
So that Sally one is sighs dead. With joy, like, ha! Yes!
It's all like mist that emerges from your mouth on the...
Yeah, just like bloody mist. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then with the other hand brings up Princess Punch, their Service Unlimited weapon, and this one is the barrel of it looks like Princess Peach's skirt.
Yeah.
And they pull the trigger and out of it just comes a full gout of fire.
Oh, nice.
Do I roll? Can I? What is that Carnage again?
Yeah, I think it should say it on there, but if not, then yeah, I would assume that is Carnage because that is a very just I'm gonna fuck everything up kind of move.
Yeah.
Now you said this is a fire attack, right?
Yes, it is a fire attack.
Perfect. And you are aiming at...
Sorry, you said there were robot ones and skeleton ones? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's two Robocrows and one Bone Croco that's sitting there getting ready to leap and attack you guys with its claws out. And then there are four, like, goons there as well.
I will hit the robot one.
Okay.
I'm going to use another bullet to reroll my attack, which I think I can do.
Oh,
yeah, you can do that. Oh,
triple
no.
Sure. Yes, I'm going to...
Yeah, it was from the one that you just... Yes, the one you rerolled. Yeah.
There we go. That's a 5.
All right.
For 2 more damage, fire.
All right. Mm. So how does it look? It's just a gout of flame that comes out?
It's looks like a child's flamethrower, just a full gout of flame. Right. Kind of.
So, as this happens, you detonate it and, like, freaks out the other Crocos there. And this robotic one just starts, like, looks at you. Its eyes turn red, and it starts charging. And it's, like, dashing left and right. And it just keeps zigzagging and then leaps at you. Mm. And it comes straight towards you, and it's, like, ready to bite you. And you just, like, whip over the flamethrower and just right, I'd say, just point blank in its mouth, just fire into it. And you just see the back of it blow out with flame. Just, like, blew its back out. And you just hear hissing and popping, and it's just sitting there just on fire, and it hits the ground, and it's just twitching and sizzling. Mm. And that one is dead as well.
Disco Inferno!
Oh, roll, because I have to, this is going to be loot, so we have...
I also get a bullet back for doing a kill.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
It's a perpetual motion machine.
So you get 2 bullets back, because you have killed 2 of these things.
I think I only get it with Princess Punch. Ah.
Okay.
So I only killed 1 thing with Princess Punch, so I get 1 bullet back.
Fantastic.
As I understand it. And yeah, I think I'm gonna stay up in the turret and just yell. It sounds almost like a kid trying to do like cheerleader cheers, but in Infernal.
Oh my god. So yeah, so those are gonna be both. You see the one from the Robocrow that blew up, and then the one that was just incinerated. You both see 2 little bullets pop up, boop, and they're just floating there above the ground. Mm.
Sick. There's bullets! Get them!
How do you grab bullets if they're out?
Just move over them.
Oh, you just move over them?
Yeah.
It's like a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it. Yeah. Hit tab and...
Yeah, you gotta jump out the whip to go do that. But,
So, Russell, what you doing there?
So, Russell sees all of these Robocrows, and he is going to take out his Hot Hops howitzer, which is his explosive sort of like grenade launcher type shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had, like you said, he's had a lot of experience with shooting trap and trap leaks. So he kind of gets down on his haunches and he gets into a good stance, bends the knees, ass out, and he's waiting and he yells, "Pull!" And just like unloads with this fucking thing. And this thing is Macbeth weapon, so it's got that like Tommy Gunn, like old, old mob movie style, but the barrel of it is actually the barrel of a beer barrel.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like Donkey Kong style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it.
So he's going to fire an explosive round at these Robocrows that are in front of him. Which, do I get to choose which I'm going to roll for that, or do you tell me based on what I've just described?
Yeah, from what you describe, that, I'm gonna let you do either cool or, canny, which I'm assuming is gonna be
I'm gonna do canny, because I'm good at it.
Hell yeah.
He's got perfect form. That ass is out. He's got it.
Yeah. At that point, like, it shows, the camera shows your perfect form, and then, like, pans
zooms
just
right
slightly
into the
to
ass.
The left. No, just pans just slightly to the left, and you see Deborah just leaning over, yeah. staring.
Yeah, Russell winks at Deborah.
She takes one of her breasts and just dabs some sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah, roll that beautiful bean footage. Let me know what you get.
All right, let's roll four of these guys here. Hey, don't you know? That'll be a five.
A five. All right, you fire that out. And you're aiming for the Robocrow?
I'm aiming for a Robocrow. This is explosive mm-hmm. damage. And one of the perks of my Macbeth weapon is that I get an additional harm for every five or six that I roll. So I get the 1-5. I get an additional harm. So it'll be 5 total explosive damage.
Oh, gosh. So what does the projectile look like coming out?
It's a PBR.
Just a no. can.
Yeah, yeah, it's a can of PBR. All
right.
Great.
So this thing is, because they're all charging you now. So this Robocrow is just charging, getting ready, and you just fire this can out, and it doesn't stop. It just goes right through the Robocrow like it was made of wet tissue. And the Robocrow just, the can itself was a dud. It just landed and didn't blow up, but what blew up was the Robocrow itself, as you just tear right through it from the sheer velocity. And so it just detonates, and in its place, when the smoke clears, you see another bullet.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's a lot of unclaimed bullets.
We're still in the vehicle. We have to exit the vehicle to be able to claim these bullets.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to jump out the moving car, I will not stop you.
This will.
I mean, you're badasses, so.
One of the abilities of my guns, this will work out in our favor to leave a couple unclaimed things down there.
All right. So, you got anything else, Russell, or is that it?
No, I think he's going to stay in the vehicle. He does have his seatbelt on. Because he does, he likes to follow the rules of the road here.
Yeah,
understand.
He's always on the lookout for safety, you know, the bronze 5-0 and a breathalyzer. So, I think that's it for Russell. For old Russell.
All right, Deborah, you just got a face full of some sweet, sweet man cheeks.
Yeah.
And there's chaos to be had.
Yeah, I mean, it's good because that, like, got Deborah salivating. Like, normally everything's pretty dry everywhere.
Got
for
the
her.
Blood pumping. So, oh, yeah. God,
you gotta,
I hate that.
There's only so much fluid in the body, so it's got to, like, move around a little bit. It's prioritize that. And she needs that to operate the Scottish gun, which is, you know, a Macbeth. So it does have, like, that kind of, like, iron and wood feeling to it. But it's also attached to this bagpipe.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So it's got like these Tesla coil looking like gun barrels pointed out of this bagpipe. And I want to know, Bees, how many of the goons can I target at once?
That is a great question.
Am I just like splitting harm across the group, or does that change like what I'm rolling, or am I really, unless the gun says otherwise, I'm only allowed to target one target at a time?
I think.
Damn, I wish I would have asked that question.
You can, unless it says otherwise, I believe, because it does specify for the enemies, it does specify it can do a target or all kind of thing. So I think unless like a perks. Is specific, I think it'll be one at a time.
Okay, in which case I am just going to target one of the goons. I'm, you know, gotta leave lovers to sort out their own quarrels. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna take care of all the faceless enemies I can.
So I'll let you know there is one bone croco charging towards you all, and then behind that there are two guardians that have, like, you see electricity arcing throughout their armor, and then you see two of them that as they run, they're kind of, like, zigzagging back and forth, and as they do, you see, like, a little mist coming off them as they do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess maybe the bone crush, like everybody's like at far distance right now, right?
No. The guardian and the guardians are near. I would say the croco at this point, the bone croco, at this point would be entering melee. Mm. So you have that, and then there's a bunch of people still in the far distance.
Okay.
That are getting that have you've gotten their attention, and they're turning towards you all now.
All right, I'm going after the people who are at far distance here.
No problem. So for far, I will tell you that you have two bone crocos. They look a lot like the first one that was blown up with the weird indents in their body.
Mm-hmm.
You will see that there are the two swole dudes in armor. Full armor. There's the one guy that was between them with the slicked out suit and slick back hair. And then you will also know that the two those two big dudes that are sitting there, they're holding like massive chains, thick chains, and they have two crocos that don't look right. Like one of them looks like a normal croco, except for it has two swole-ass arms jutting out of its back.
Out the back, so it has, like, and six limbs total.
Yeah, six limbs total.
Great.
And man, it's just, like, those arms are just, like, flexing. They're just flexing the whole time as it's walking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go after one of the muscle dudes, then.
Mm. Okay, I will say the other unstable croco there... has a horrifying cat dog thing going on where both of its ends just have mouths that are snapping and it has like two sets of front paws but going in different directions. So it's essentially the wherever it's moving, there's the front paws going forward and then the back ones are just kind of backpedaling. Mm.
And it does that in whatever that can't shit.
Yeah. Oh, it's pissed off. Yeah, it's furious. But yeah, so you will know that those are two unstable crocos, which just give really just horrible, monstrous vibes.
As opposed to the regular, well-adjusted crocos.
Yes, the ones that are doing their taxes and, you know, cleaning up around the area. Yeah.
Okay. yeah, I am going to use the Scottish gun. So I begin playing this tune on these bagpipes and it starts to like inspire this storm over the area for just a lightning bolt to come down and zap this muscular guy holding one of the swole guys. Yeah.
Okay, so there are two different types. There's one, it's kind of like the Guardians, where you see one has just big arcs. I would say, like, on its shoulders, they're just two turbines going, and it's generating electricity all over its body. And then the other one has two gauntlets that are just, like, dripping this, What is it? The like, dry ice?
Okay.
As it just walks around?
Yeah. I'm going to have to go after the dry ice one because I'm assuming the electricity element that I have for these is not going to work really well on him. So what am I going to be rolling for this? Is it...
Yours, I would say canny.
Great.
Because, actually, I mean, it kind of does... The cloud looks cool, but I don't know if Deborah looks too cool doing it. So I think we'll do canny, yeah.
Great. Oop. Oh, I got what I needed anyway. I rolled a 6 because I have rare on the Scottish gun. That's going to add an additional harm to this. So there's a total of 4 harm coming towards this guy.
Woo!
All right, Miss Badass. So you just, like, summon a lightning bolt above them, just a cloud, and it just drops lightning?
Yes.
Okay. And that is going to be on the ice one, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, he's walking, and
Which I have named Smoke Machine.
And they turn, and they look over at you, and they're just like... about to let go of the chains to release the crocos, and you drop that lightning bolt, and it's going for the electric one, but he's already let go of the chain, and the other one hasn't yet, and it just zips towards that, hits that, blows the collar on the croco it was holding, and that one starts running towards you, mm-hmm. but the guy's hand locks up from the electricity, and it just goes through his mm-hmm. body, and he starts just seizing, and I would say that like he just seizes out, hits the ground, and just smoke comes from his body, and he's just done.
Fried.
Whoops.
And from that, let me see what we get. We'll make sure to mark these off as y'all kill them. From that, we get another bullet.
Okay.
Damn. It's everywhere.
Now, I do have a question.
Yes.
It says one of the abilities in the Scottish gun is loot zap, which will do one damage for uncollected loot drop that's nearby. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming yes. none of the other loot drops were near these far enemies, correct? So I probably wouldn't be able to activate
that. Does it specify near them or near you?
That's one of the things that was a little, it says, deal one extra electric harm to near enemy for each uncollected loot drop. I don't know if that's enemies that are near me or near the point of attack or what.
You know what? Let's,
I think like everything was
we're
pretty
badasses
near us.
Here. We're badasses here. So for now, you know what? At this point, I don't care. Let's just change it up as we see fit.
Absolutely.
Because I want to see you be your best badass. So right now we'll do it for near you since you're near more
great.
Bullets.
Yeah, so then I guess like I'm kind of arcing this electricity so all of the uncollected loots near us start to spark and zap every enemy near them. I'm going to spend the two bullets for that attack.
Nice. I think you have to target like, a specific enemy, but yeah, you definitely throw him.
It's okay, like Breath of the Wild when you've got like a metal sword on the ground and it's a thunderstorm.
Exactly. then we'll go with the bone croc that's headed near
true.
Us because we established that they were nearby. So it depends on how, then I guess the damage from this depends on how many uncollected loot box count as
there
near
are four,
us.
There are three right now that count as near.
Damn.
So then three
the
damage
fourth
is
one is from
at
far. So yeah. So it runs and what I see is that like you do that, you activate that perk or that quirk. And then you see the two that are furthest from you, because there's three right now nearby. There's the two that you hit from a distance, and then the one that Sally just immolated right there. Mm-hmm. So I think like you see the other two spark light up and shoot a bolt towards the one right next to you, and it just starts glowing more and more and more and crackling energy, and that bone croco runs towards you, and as soon as it like hits that bullet as it's trying to get to y'all, it hits the bullet and there's just a like an explosion and that lightning damage goes off and just fries that croco. And all you see from that, let's get another roll on there, you see your first health pop up.
Ooh.
It's a health pickup.
Ding dong, you're dead, motherfucker.
And here I was afraid this was going to be too brutal, but now y'all are just blowing through these guys.
All right.
Well, we got to go first. I think things are going to look a little bit different once the enemies start taking their actions.
No. Hey there, it's Bees once again, and welcome to the Midworld. Let's take a quick break from all this action so I can tell you about a couple awesome things you should know about. Get gaming fast with the Ultimate Micro RPG book, including brand new micro RPGs created by experts across the gaming world. From space exploration to jungle dungeon crawlers, this book has everything you need to pick up and play today. With these quick start games, you can create your own adventures alone or with friends without any prep and with minimal setup and pieces. Whether you're new to RPGs or working towards your level 20 mage, this collection is a great way to try out different games and systems and test your roleplay skills on different character types and situations. Pick it up anywhere nerdy necessities are sold. Did you know the listener surveys for the one-shot host auditions are out? Patrons can find links on Patreon, and our lovely public feed listeners can find them at oneshotpodcast.com. Please go fill those out and show some love to all these talented hosts and show support to your favorite. Now, it's time for a nugget of wisdom from Big Bees' big bag of bad facts. If your PC starts overheating, just make sure to spritz it with water here and there and turn a fan to keep it cool all day. And with that, quick word from our sponsors.
So, about Derek.
Yes.
This entire time, as we've been kind of like cruising, the direction of the car has not wavered. It has been. I think Derek, like, starts to try and get out of the way, and equally the car is starting to turn, so Derek remains within sight. There's like a distance to target counter in like a little hollow readout that is ticking down rapidly as the car advances, and just smooth, cool as a cucumber, no blinking, Tiago just continues to perceive unbothered, moisturized in his lane towards Derek.
The camera view just shifts to right on top of the horn as it's chasing Derek down.
Oh yeah.
And I love it so much that I will allow you to attack Derek with the horn. Mm-hmm. And it won't count as one of your attacks.
Oh, okay, sick.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, I would...
This has story, this has background, this has a past drama, to it. Yeah. This needs to be resolved.
Meat on that bone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would love to roll cool for this kind of patient, placid murder that is about to occur.
yes, I will. I'm down with it.
That is a six. So we do it. We do run this man through. I think we get a silhouette from this. There is on impact, the world around, like the skybox and the textures of the area around, go red, and Derek and everybody in the car is black as the camera like whirls round it, and we see like the kind of like big spurt of blood, also in black silhouette. Go out the back of Derek.
Oh, I love it. I want to think that like he was running from you, and he's like, oh, and he like jumps up on a ledge and starts trying to like pull himself up, but he just, his grip just boom slips off and he falls back, and it's a slow shot of him falling, and then everything turns red and black like you said, and then boom, he falls impaled on it, and you see the black.
Yeah,
right there.
There's a beat, like everything stops for a second with the man impaled, and then Tiago hits the spin button on the horn. It just lets that blender with the top removed just kind of like fly everywhere as he hops out the convertible and draws a sword. Who's nearby?
I will say that like at first, like there's it cuts the tension with a comical spinning of the body, but then that, you know, it breaks through all that and he just gets yeeted off afterwards. And I will say, so that was cold as ice. So I'm going to get rid of one of the cold guys. So now you have, next to you, within melee range, you have three guardians, two of them electric, one ice. And then you have four crocos coming towards you. Both of them are, well, two of them are bone crocos, which just look kind of skeletal. And then you see two of them, those horrific, unstable crocos that I just mentioned earlier. Beautiful. Those are starting to bound towards you as well.
Hopping out the whip, Tiago switches weapons. I like the idea that the model, like, you know, he's holding a sword in the hand, and then the sword just fully changes to one of the other swords. There is no removing it out of a sheath or anything. To the foil crackling with electricity. It's got like a caution tape around the hilt in like black and yellow. And we approach one of the bone crocos, and Tiago says, "I broke up with him. He didn't break up with me, actually." and just fully tries to jam, not even using it as a fencing foil, just tries to jam it straight through the head of the croco vertically. Which is, I think, a carnage roll, even though he's bad at it. He's, like, shook. Rolling a single d6. We still get a 5, though. We do it.
Right. Hell yeah.
So, I think as you're like, you get out. So I see the scene as, like, you finish off Derek. And then the car still kind of like skidding to a halt. As it's doing that, you just like open the door, get out, and it just skids past you and just goes to a stop. And you walk over and you see this bone croco tuck itself in and start rolling towards you furiously. And as that happens, I want to think of, because you mentioned this earlier about the teleportation. I want to see, like, I see this happening as you look over at it and you teleport above it. And then, because you were saying that you don't have, like, a bunch of different swords, it just kind of changes. I think that you have them on you and you use your teleportation power to switch them out.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Then as you appear above it, you like snap a finger and that foil pops out and then you just jam down onto it. And then it just like skids to a stop.
It takes 2 damage. The sword does less damage than my main. I will pop 1 bullet. It would be 2, but because this is a melee weapon, it costs 1 cheaper for me to use chain reaction. Deal 1 electric damage harm to a near enemy and then mark them. When they die, do it again. So the other bone croco, as the like Folga foil goes into this one, there is a spark that flies out and zaps the second bone croco, and it starts glowing. It has like a big kind of graffiti like electricity effect crackling all over it, highlighting it as an important target.
I love that. So yeah, you stab into it and it was balled up and its arms just kind of splay out as it dies, and that electricity crackles through its body, and the other one was rolling next to it and one of those limbs fly out, hit it, and then send an electric shock right through its body, and you see that one just seize up and just kind of like fall over to the side, skid a little bit, and then it just twitches and then dies as well.
Interesting. Because I killed an enemy. Oh, that killed both of them? Yo, okay.
Yeah.
For every kill, I gain a stack for one of my abilities. So I gain 2 stacks.
You got 2 stacks. And you also see a bullet and a health pop
up. Cool. If the bullet is the one that's nearest me, am I able to grab that on my turn, or are we going to pass it over?
You really didn't do much moving at all, so you can walk over to it. There is definitely the one nearest to you is the bullet. The one that's like a few feet from
that.
Jump
to the nearby enemy is the health. Yeah, I'll grab that bullet and go back up to 6. That's my turn.
All right.
What does grabbing bullets look like in this world? Do you have to like crouch? Do you just crouch over it real quick?
No, you just walk over and it just like just absorbs.
Yeah,
into
there's
you.
Definitely a bayonetta pose as we stand on the bullet. Pose and then like little
there
green,
you go.
Like,
that's what you have to do when you walk over it. You got to pose in some way, and that's the only way to absorb that power.
Gotcha. This is enemy round now, huh?
That was cold though.
Getting some reprisal.
That was rad.
That was y'all.
That Tiago. That Tiago sequence was cold as hell.
Hell yeah!
What can I say? This guy is a massive piece of shit, but he does know how to kill a croco or 5.
Russell's like impressed. He's like, "Dag nabbit, that there boy's colder than a January morning in Canada."
All right, so
he cracks open a cold one.
Absolutely.
Yikes. All right, so with all this chaos going on, the guy with the slicked hair and slicks, yeah, just as slick suit turns around, and just like you can see him roll his eyes, and he lowers his shades so that you can't see them anymore, and he just looks over, like you see him look at the other Aegis standing next to him. He says something, and that guy turns, pulls out a sword, and starts charging towards you all. And you see him just like smile again, that just annoying smile, and he pulls out this long magnum. And when he does, he looks at all of you, aims, and then says something that none of you can hear, pulls the trigger, and it fires like a little, it kind of looks like a beanbag almost, like fires it out and it flies towards you all, hits the ground in the middle, and then detonates with an electric web that hits all of you. So awesome. I'm going to need everyone to take one electric damage.
Now, for those who have electric armor, damage is reduced.
You laugh at him. Yep, you laugh at him.
Oh my god, it's like you can't even like read the theming of our outfits. Doesn't this read electricity to you? Like, read a fashion magazine or something.
He just kind of like looks at you and rolls his eyes. And
I'm impressed that we could see him roll his eyes behind those shades.
Well, he does he that exaggerated. That
he's like, oh. He'll like lower his sunglasses.
Yeah, there you go. Lowers them so you can see him rolling his eyes. And then just starts walking towards you all. But he's far behind everybody. So he's still in far distance. Mm. The three guardians left are... in melee, and the Aegis is still in near. The unstable Krakos are getting to melee, and all of a sudden you just see these two red beams, and they move slowly, they start to move slowly, and then switch over and aim at one's going to aim at Tiago. The other one is going to aim at probably Deborah because of that crazy lightning shit. And you just hear two rifles go off. Bah, bah. And I need Tiago to take two electric harm and... Deborah to take two ice harm as those bullets come out of nowhere, and apparently there are two snipers.
Okay, interesting. That's reduced to one electric harm.
Tiago electric shuffles out of the way for part of that.
And yeah, that is, I think that's it, because I do three enemies.
The like taking that hit because I don't reduce that damage at all, like sends Deborah up into the air spinning, full ragdoll physics spinning out, because like there's not a lot of weight to her body, so like any kind of force impacting her is just like shoots her off into the air.
Breasts all over the place.
Yeah, breasts akimbo. Everywhere. For sure.
All right, so you will notice that as the head badass or head asshole in the background kind of rolls his eyes, he pulls out a phone and taps something on it, and you just hear like a rolling thunder starting to creep up, and that's all you hear, and that is the end of that turn. So yeah, the bullets are everywhere. We're starting again with the player turns. We will start again with Sally.
Now that the car has stopped, Sally will hop down. You said there's melee close to us?
Yes. There are, at this point, there are three guardians that are close to you, are in melee range. There are two electric, one ice, and then you have an Aegis and two unstable Krakos in near approaching you.
Okay. Sally's gonna jump down behind one of the Krakos that's close to us. And take a swing with their babysitter's club. It is a gold standard babysitter's club, so it is gilded and long, but it definitely looks like a Fisher Price bat.
From like, and do you have a preference for which Krako you hop on? Because these are the two unstable ones. So there's Cat Dog, and then there's
the six-armed nightmare.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the other one, but I'm gonna jump on Cat Dog because those are just okay. Real grabby.
So you hop on Cat Dog and it like skids to a stop, and you see both mouths lean up and try and bite at you.
And I'll swing away, just full of rage.
Awesome.
Plus one to cool.
And that is gonna be a carnage, definitely, because you were just angry.
I have a six.
All right.
So that
How
is
much damage
three
do you
harm.
Do? Mm-hmm. And what type?
It's non-Euclidean.
Okay. So, let me think. Okay. All right. So, yeah. Funny enough, you do three harm, but these unstable Krakos are monstrous. Mm-hmm. So, since it's non-Euclidean, you deal an extra harm.
Hey.
Which just so happens to be their HP.
That's
so as you swing, you swing this bat down and it hits the face that's like right in front of you, and the bat just in a way that doesn't really make sense, just like shatters into liquid. And like you hit it, that happens. The liquid just splashes onto this thing, and then instantly just turns into spikes and shoots through the body.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
And then this thing just seizes up, drops, and the bat just kind of like slides out slimy and then reforms to a bat.
Sally, I imagine like several teeth are kind of scattered as it goes, and Sally just reaches up with one hand and like scoops some of the teeth and puts them in her cheek, not even in her pocket, but just stores them in her cheek like a hamster.
And you'll notice you saw
Save
a lot of
for
teeth
later.
Fly out when you hit, but you notice that the ones you pick up is not as many teeth as you saw fly out. And so you shove those in your cheek and you look, and there's just this haunting smile on your back from the teeth it collected.
Sally takes a full moment to go, "You are the greatest creation ever!"
Tiago, take a picture of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You pose with the bat. Even though we're in the middle of combat and like our lives are on the line, Tiago's like, "That's fucking sick." And just...
Some of the teeth like come out of the side of their mouth to like just rest on their tongue as they smile.
And as you do that, the bat winks.
Nice.
I'm going to use my Rain Hell, because it's a passive ability, to...
Just going
to
go again.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go again with the bat.
Oh, well, what are you gonna target there, friend?
Well, I'll just take on that fellow with the extra arms, eh?
Oh, so
it's
dashing
towards you with the hands out like this, grabbing for you.
That accent was the first thing that Russell has understood this entire campaign. He's like, "Oh, sure."
Yeah, I think Sally's starting to like feel connected to the others, and like Tiago said that they did something cool, so they're immediately like, "Oh fuck yeah, I'm gonna do something rad." But out of their mouth comes Russell's voice, and they're like, "Shit, no, damn it, I was cool for a second." And I'll
Says
swing
you.
Away.
Russell still thinks you're cool, even cool.
Russell thinks you're super cool.
Oh, I didn't want that. Oof. Having said that and marked themselves as uncool,
Russell's in the corner, like, two thumbs up, like, keep it real, cheese wheel.
That alone, Sally, I'm assuming it, real, it wasn't a great roll.
Swings wide. I got a 3.
Ooh, mixed. Okay. So that's it's a mixed success. That's still mixed, yeah. So I think, like, you're about to just, like, just destroy this thing, and you hear from the distance, keep it real, cheese wheel. And look over and you're like, what the fuck? And just miss completely. And as you miss completely, you're it goes to attack you and just catches you with an uppercut.
Wait.
And
what was the roll?
Yeah. It was a 3.
So that still counts as miss. So, you still hit, I think. But
yeah.
Surprising.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Are you gonna spin that?
I'm gonna
bullet?
Spend 3 bullets.
Ooh.
So oh. that was Russell's lucky phrase that he yelled out.
Ah,
so that phrase. That is what Russell yells out every time he throws a bowling ball.
Mm.
So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna activate my lucky move, my ability, and I'm gonna that ability is to make anyone re-roll any roll. So you roll that again. I'm gonna spend 3 bullets on that.
All right,
that's
spend
so
the 3
kind.
Bullets, re-roll those.
That's one of Russell's gambler moves because he's a degenerate gambler.
That's incredible. That's a 5.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So nothing changes. You still like go to miss, except for you don't get hit. What happens is that it swings at you and it, like, everyone hears it connect with an uppercut. And what happens is you get pushed by the force back and you land and you're like, ow. You know, you just hit your butt, but you're not damaged. And what everyone sees is you don't have your bat anymore. The bat has, like, you look. And the gold is on its fist and just creeping down its body, covering it in a shell. And so it's just sitting there, like, stuck in this golden pose. And then all of a sudden just crunches. And doesn't exist anymore. And then the bat slowly slithers its way back to you. And then once you, you hold your hand out and it, like, goes like a cobra striking, but it jumps up, and as soon as it touches your hand, goes back to bat form.
This thing is so sick. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of non-Euclidean weapons. They make no damn sense.
Yeah, Sally just starts swinging it. Cheese wheel! Cheese wheel! That's it. That's Sally's turn.
Talk about a liquidation, right.
Liquidation. So speaking of Mr. Liquidation, what you gonna do?
Russell is gonna jump off the Prince Mobile.
Undo your seatbelt first.
Yeah, he undoes his seatbelt.
That takes a whole turn.
And then tuck and roll. I think what helps Russell land is those pristine white Air Monarchs that he's got on. So when he hits the ground, he does the superhero pose. And you just see, like, the camera right on the ground, and then those shoes just hit the ground. Dust comes out. I believe you said that there was a bone croco, like, beelining towards us, right?
No.
No.
Bad one.
Well, paint
those
that,
are dead. From,
paint that
from
mind
good
picture
friend
for me
Tiago.
Again, bees.
Yeah. From the, those two just got wrecked immediately by Tiago. Right now, you have 3 guardians in melee range of you. There are 2 electric ones pulling that have guns out. There's 1 ice one, and there is an Aegis that's running towards you, and he's arcing electricity from the turbines on his shoulders.
Damn.
And at this point, he's in melee range as well. And then you have 2, you know, there were 2 shots that came out of nowhere. And then you see the management guy, who's still, I'd say at this point, near.
So I'm going to go after the Aegis that's running towards the electric one, that's okay. Coming towards here. Russell pulls out, one of those, like, folding chairs that's like metal, but it has like the straps that make up the chair. He pulls out that folding chair and he sets down his igloo cooler. And he kind of like gets himself down on the igloo cooler with his Hot Hops howitzer. So he's using it as kind of like an elbow rest.
Yeah.
And he's going to get ready for this thing. The reason I'm using this is because the last time I blew something up with it, I got the plus one harm. So I'm going to, and that effect stacks. So we're gonna go after this thing with the same weapon.
All right. And that I'm going to say is, that's going to be another canny.
Oh, yep. Hell yes.
It's your pro.
You see my first rodeo there, friend, hey? So that'll be a six again.
Gosh, we rolled like my dynamite.
Six, two, all four, right. And one.
And how much damage?
Well, it would be four explosive damage plus one because of the stack from the last round. And it deals, the perk for the Macbeth weapon that I have is actually it deals an additional harm for every five or six rolled. So six.
All right. So you fire this can out and it looks like the guy slows down, looks confused and just grabs the can out of the air and like looks at it, looks at you. And it's just like, like laughs and goes to like open it. And as soon as he opens it, it detonates, and just all that's left are just a pair of legs when it's done.
Oh, bad move there, feller. I call that my brutality. That's when beer meets brutality. Now, who's thirsty? And he pulls out like another six pack.
I cannot tell if he's cool or a massive dork. It's really confusing.
It's both. It's both. It's
totally both.
Duality
all right.
is crazy.
Am I able to grab any ammo that's anywhere near me?
I would say at this point where you're at, there should be, because you just got out. You didn't move up to where Tiago is. So I would say there is a, actually there's just bullets all around you. And I'm trying to think where that other... No, there's bullets all around you. There's three bullets and a health. So you can move to any one of those because those are all close to you.
Well, I'm going to move to the nearest bullet and press tab.
Delicious.
Grab that.
What pose do you do? Important.
Russell.
Oh, yeah, you have to pose to get it.
Yeah, Russell starts playing air guitar again. That's his his sort of signature move. And he does actually hum... Foreigner songs to himself while he does it. You're as cold as ice.
So, in like as the legs disintegrate, health pickup pops up.
Oh damn!
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Detonation Blues by Fillmore, Midday March by Fairlight, Square One by Avocado Junkie, Fight by Brightseed, JNTR by Sam Barsh, and Cyber Racer by Luna Ray. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
And that's the episode. Tune in next week for the finale of our one shot of Gunfucks. Before you go, we end our episodes here at One Shot with a call to action. Check out 5calls.org. Find the issues that are important to you and call your representatives and make your voice heard. Let them know what we want them to do because they work for us. Thank you to all our patrons. Your support helps keep all this wonderful goodness going. If you want to support us in a non-monetary way, share the show with friends. Spread it out all across all of your social media platforms. And grab a big old stereo and blast that bad boy out in random massive public areas. Don't forget, also, please, please, please leave us some 5-star reviews on iTunes. They increase our visibility and written reviews help others find us. You know, if in case you needed an example of one,
I love Beez's one-shot series. It's helped make my commutes to and from work so much easier. Thanks! You know, I get something like that if you kind of, you know, if you need a little bit of help. But, you know, that's it for me. Please tune in next week and take care of yourselves. Peace.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.